What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday night. It's a what the fuck time. And guess what? No Charlie the Fister. I got back Jillian. Jillian has returned to me.
The prodigal co-host returned.
I don't know about prodigal.
I feel a little out of practice. Hopefully my nonsensicals and shenanigans are in check and be able to say what I need to say and not hang up and be like, crap, I really wanted to say this about that one thing.
We missed your nonsensicals and shenanigans, though.
Aw. All two of the people that listening. I don't usually listen to the shows. Like, Josh will be like, hey, you should listen to this episode. And to which I reply, I don't need to listen to it. I lived it. And I don't like the sound of my voice.
Why don't we get into your Riddick boy for this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Explain to us about the Chinese Riddick boy.
Okay, so basically, we have a little bit of X-Men evolution going on where it's the first kind of, not necessarily a mutation, but technically it is. It's this ability, this Chinese boy has the ability to see in pitch black darkness. His eyes, if you think of a cat and when the light hits the cat's eyes and they glow, that's what this kid's eyes do. He has trouble seeing in bright lights, just like Riddick. And so the scientists are baffled. And so they're doing a lot of research and whatnot. They're also talking about seeing if it's possible, if they could make this effect happen on purpose in humans. And my first thought is stop fucking with like genetic things, though. Every science fiction movie shows us that tampering with genetics doesn't end well. And I'm not even going to go into zombie territory, but just like, I don't know. It's one of those things where, okay, this is a fluke. It actually happened. Okay, it may happen in other people, but you shouldn't be splicing things and trying to make this effect happen in people. Not only that, but honestly, if I had to choose between seeing in pitch black darkness and then being very sensitive to the light, I'm usually up during the light. Like, yeah, I'll be a night owl, but I don't want to have to, you know, be super sensitive to the daylight. We are made this way for a reason. And you know that they're interested in doing the whole, oh, let's make people see in the pitch black dark for probably military reasons, being like, oh, you know, send in those snipers. They won't need night vision goggles or anything. I mean, you know, that's kind of the driving force usually in science. Yeah.
But Jillian, see, my problem with this, when you said that they're going to start trying to recreate this, which for the sake of argument, let's just call it a natural phenomenon at this point. Isn't that called eugenics? And isn't there a reason eugenics is illegal in even backwards countries? Eugenics cannot turn out well. Eugenics is fucking with Mother Nature. It's fucking with, as you put it, genetics. That's a little bit scary to me.
Because basically, an animal's night vision is possible of like this thin layer of cells. So basically, it's some formulation of cells that, you know, this boy has. So, you know, it says that he can play outside with his schoolmates, but when it's bright outside, he has issues. The article says, and the kid's name is Nong, and it says it sparked interest around the world by vision scientists, of course, evolutionary biologists and genetic engineers. They say this is good news for science, and we may eventually be able to use genetic technologies to deliberately create such a condition ourselves. Why? I mean, I just, you know, whatever. This is a genetic phenomenon.
That is the
era of
science, right?
Right. I mean, this is a genetic phenomenon that, you know, this person deals with. Okay. And I don't see why you would want to make humans the most dangerous animal out there, like an animal with night vision. I mean, that just causes so many issues. You know what I mean?
I guess it does gotta save be. It does save you a pack of smokes when you're in a slam to get your eyes shined, though.
I mean, doesn't this kind of sound like the start of X-Men with just kind of minor genetic phenomenon going on, you know?
That, but I started to go more in the pop culture sense to Khan Noonien Singh from Star Trek. Of the
I'm not a
Trekkie. Khan!
Tell me your pros and cons about this article. I will end this and just say, once again, the Chinese are ahead of us in development.
Let's move on to, and I hate saying it like this, but this is the way they keep referring to it in the article, the mum who turned troll hunter, and she is attacking cyber bullies on the internet.
Hold on to your keyboards, trolls. It's cyber mum.
I hate that term, mum. I know, well, it's a British thing, and she's British, but still bugs me.
Right. I mean, aside from what her site is called for sanity's sake, Josh's sanity mainly, we're going to call her mom. So, yes. Basically, this lady is going on a troll hunt, which anybody who has ever heard of the internet knows is a losing battle and will never happen. Like, you can't wipe this out. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the story yet, but just the headline, it's like, once something's on the internet, it's there forever. You can't hunt down every single person that says a mean comment. It's like, you know what? Have fun. Look at a fucking reviewer site. There's, you know, people just love trolling.
Look and at yes, my fans.
Yeah, right. I wasn't going to name anything specific, but you know, you've got the whole saying, don't feed the trolls because someone will be a smartass and just say something to get a reaction because they sit at home and they're just like, yeah, I made this dude angry. Oh, it's so hilarious. They're cussing at me. And if you don't respond to it, it usually dies down. You have the other kinds of trolls that will just torturously say horrible, horrible things to young people or to a cultural sensitivity. You know, any kind that there's like a tragedy, they'll go into Facebook groups and say horrible things. You've got it between, you know, the Christians and the atheists and the Muslims, like people infiltrate Facebook groups and they'll say horrible, horrible things. So, you know, there's all different kinds of spectrums. Basically, this started because her kids were getting bullied online and there were being comments left that were horrible, which a lot of people get. But here's my thing. Control your kids' social media. There's talk in the article about, you know, oh, well, I don't mind if my mom goes into my Facebook and, you know, it's great that she's always looking out for me. I don't care if she looks at my messages and see if anybody's picking on me. It's like, then change your settings. Set it to where only people who you're friends with on your list can message you. That way you're not going to get random people who come across your picture and are like, oh, you look like a dork or what have you. Also, you can't protect your kids or your friends or anybody from negative comments on the internet. You know, whether it's a picture you post, there was another article flying around that was a larger woman and it was part of the whole, this is what a feminist looks like movement.
I've seen that one. Yes.
Yeah. And it's women of various, you know, just all women. And they hold up this little sign that says, this is what a feminist looks like. All women of different races and types, you know, would do that to support feminism. So somebody turned it into a meme and said something like, yeah, that's what I figured, implying, well, you know, you're fat and ugly, so that's how feminists are. So she went through this whole thing as well and was pissed that her picture got turned into a meme. There was this big uproar, and it's like, you people need to understand, once something's on the internet, it's not going to go away. If you put a picture of yourself out there, do you think all of these other people, you know, how many memes do you come across a day? None of those people sat there and approved it. You even have
most of those people don't even know that there are memes.
And I mean, God, we've talked about this before, the memes of the mentally handicapped kids, and they turn those into like mean memes, and it's just like, wow, that's wrong. I don't know. We're in a culture now where everything is so, oh, well, that's, you know, so wrong. It's funny and this and that. And it's like, you've got lines. But going back to the actual trolling thing, you know, control what your kids have access to. If you don't want strangers being dicks and leaving comments on your kids' message boards or what have you, it's like, set those settings to where they don't receive messages from people they don't know. And if you're talking about, yes, online trolling is a problem. I'm not saying that this woman is crazy for that aspect, but spending, you know, 6,000 hours to crusade the stop trolling thing, she's gone and looked up people's identities, sent it to the police, and it's like, lady, that's not going to do anything. There's no law against being a dick online. You know, it kind of reminds me of Ghostbusters.
No law against being a dick in real life either.
Yeah, it's like Ghostbusters too. Are you telling me you want me to tell all of the New Yorkers to be nice to each other? So yes, is bullying a problem? Yes, you know, it has effects on kids. There's been kids that have killed themselves, have been tortured. It's at the same time, they're going to get that in real life too. You can't look at every horrible thing some jackass does and say, oh, you shouldn't be saying that. I'm submitting you to the police. Yes, there's online harassment. It doesn't even have to be on Facebook. And statements like, well, these sites don't take responsibility, these forums, these social media sites. It's like, because it's, I mean, I hate to use this word when it pertains to assholes, but it is free speech. Any information you put out there, people have a right to comment on. That's like, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, you have every right to go and bitch about me, which I'm sure some or most of you do. Am I going to submit your names to the police for saying bad things about me and hurting my feelings and making me butthurt? No, I'm going to say, well, I don't know you. That sucks that you don't agree with me, but that's how I feel. Get over it. So for someone to take this battle, I mean, this is like the battle of the interwebs. Like one person be like, I am going to take on all of the trolls and bullies online, and you just can't do it. There are more important things. It's like, you know what? Then start with child porn sites. That's way wrong than some asshole calling your kid a dork.
There's also the fact that, like you said, it comes down to freedom of speech. I couldn't agree more, because one of the things that she tried to do, Caitlin Jackson, she tried to remove like the dead baby jokes webpage from Facebook. Do I think dead baby jokes are funny? No, of course I don't. And especially if you've lost a child like Caitlin did, you're going to think it's offensive. But that's free speech. If you don't like it, don't look at it.
There's a lot of offensive things out there. I mean, you can't take on everything, you know, you take offense to or that you feel is bad taste. I mean, are you going to go to every raunchy comedy movie because there's bad taste things in it? You can't do that. You know, yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that's horrible and just don't look at it. Or, you know, I mean, I've seen shit posted that I'm just like, oh, that's wrong. And I sit there for a second, I'm like, no, I'm not even going to get into it. It's whatever. You know, and it's kind of a double-edged sword because there is a lot of things, okay, free speech. I'm not saying that it's right. I mean, it's not right to sit there and bully kids. That I get. Take care of your own kids then. But you can't go after everything online and be the internet police. You can't do that. And the whole, I mean, going far as to looking up these people, I mean, she's quoted saying, no one is willing to be responsible for policing these sites. Someone needs to find these trolls who are abusing people anonymously and lock them up. Well, there goes 80% of the cinemasnob.com viewership. You got.
I think that goes 80% of the internet.
I know, right? And I mean, again, not laughing at the aspect of people being really horrible and abusive to people. Yes, that's wrong. But that has existed since AOL Instant Messenger. You know, and if you're going to focus on people saying hurtful things, it's like, all right, why don't you focus on the really horrible things like the online predators and things? I mean, this is kind of, yes, bullying is wrong. It's like focus on it in the schools, but you're not going to be able to protect your kids and you're not going to be able to protect everybody from trolls online. And okay, let's see. Oh, I found this guy and here's his Facebook and he's just like trolling and being a jerk and saying horrible things. So I'm going to submit him to the police with as much information as I can. They're not going to do anything. There's no law against being an asshole.
Well, and I think the other aspect is something I've been saying for a while is I don't like when people anonymously take pot shots at me. I want you to post your name and then I'll fight with you because, you know, I like to fight with people. I just think it's cowardly to do it anonymously. And I think her mindset is these people would not say this if they had to say it under their real name. So I think she believes like she's shining a light and seeing how the cockroaches scatter. I'm not sure.
No, this is a situation of, you know, shaking your finger and don't be mean. When you're submitting as much information as you can about people and what they're saying to the police, it's kind of like, hey, here's these people saying mean things. Go do something about it. You know, I mean, she even says that there's nobody policing these sites and taking responsibility. So what? You know, then make sure your kids aren't accessing things that they shouldn't. Yes, certain forms, depending on the website, we'll have certain standards, you know, be nice, no abusive language, things like that. Does that mean it never happens? No, you know, no one can sit there and read large forums all day to see if people are being nice to each other. So stuff slips through or you have forums, right? Or you have forums that, you know, don't have those rules other than, you know, no hugely abusive name calling. But I mean, you can be trolling and mean to someone without necessarily being vulgar abusive, if that makes sense. I mean, you can rip someone a new one online. I mean, kind of being a part of the whole reviewer movement here, you know, I've got a lot of experiences with different varieties of trolls. And I mean, you can even ban these people. They change their IP addresses. I mean, there is no physical way. It's like she wants the police to go to their door and say, you're under arrest for being mean. Stop being mean.
England does have certain anti-trolling laws. If you cross over a certain line, incitement of violence or something like that, then the police have to get involved. What she's doing is just saying, these people are being mean, I want them prosecuted and brought to justice, and that's wrong.
It is, and there is no way to do it. You know, despite people being anonymous or having a pen name, what have you, and again, when I use the words free speech, I'm not really saying, oh, we'll get over it. I mean, yeah, they do have a right to say whatever they want to say. Is that making them a good human being if they're going online and bullying kids or just being a jerk? Whatever, but I mean, that's the age we live in. It is. And
But no, Jillian, I don't think it's the age we're living in, because you and I had that in the age before social media. Kids were like this.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's the age we're living in, to where they are exposed to it on social media as opposed to in the schoolyard. You know, cliques in schools. I was bullied very badly in school. You know, so I mean, I get bullying. Anybody that listens to, you know, these shows where we've talked about the subject of kids in the schoolyard and everything, I get it. This is not an adult being like, oh, kids, get over it, blah, blah, blah. Like, I understand how serious it is and how horrible it is. At the same time, you know, especially when you move on to social media or just online in general, there's no way to protect against it. You know, if kids are going to certain sites and leaving comments and then they're getting trolled, let's say, for instance, someone goes to a review site and they're like, oh, I like this YouTube video or blah, blah, blah. And then somebody starts trolling them saying, you're stupid, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, 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 horrible words that I don't want to say. Tell your kid not to go to the site anymore. If they're going to get upset about someone attacking them, all right, then don't do it. And, you know, from a parent's point of view, I understand it's the whole, well, they should be able to go and, you know, look at this person's stuff and comment on it. That's fine. But anybody else has the right to comment upon and reply to anything you've put out there as well. That's
yeah,
like
if it applies to you, it applies to them as well.
Yeah, it's like if you write a blog article and you put it up online, and you have a website, and then you have people leaving mean comments for you because they don't agree with what you wrote. That's the internet. Since our society has moved to a larger technological era, you know, that aspect of cliques and just people being horrible and bullying has migrated as well, you know, into that technology. So to sit there and take it upon yourself and like, I'm going to police every time someone says something wrong. It's like, focus on your children, you know, and let the other parents worry about their children. And if everybody focused on their children, we wouldn't have people growing up into assholes. But the point is, people parent different ways. You know, people say different things. And a lot of times these are grown ass adults like attacking kids based on what their picture is. But you know what? If you have your stuff set on private, these people can't get to your kids and say these things. You can't take on the internet. You can't police it. And I'm going to end it with this. The story is actually kind of ironic because we have the story about this mom, you know, doing good and busting the trolls. Whereas now that the story is out, she's going to get so many trolls attacking her for this. And maybe some of you feel like I'm trolling her. I'm not. It's more so practicality. You can't please the internet. You know, I'm not going to sit there. Troll comments would be like name calling, and I don't want to get misquoted, but y'all know what I'm saying on what's, if you've been on any forums, comment sites, you know what's going to be coming with the story.
I think she unintentionally opened herself up to criticism that, I mean, you and I have both experienced it. Brad's experienced it. Alex has experienced it. I don't really think she knows what she's in for.
Anyone that has any kind of social media type work, any kind of artwork, like even DeviantArt, people will comment on, if I put a painting on DeviantArt, someone can be like, you know, you fucking suck. You need to go back to art school. This is stupid. This is the worst piece of shit I've ever seen. You should kill yourself. Someone could write that. And it is my choice to be like, asshole, or to take it to heart and be like, oh my God, I should never do another painting. Maybe I should kill. I mean, do you see how silly that is when someone is just being extreme? There's people that leave constructive criticism, and then there's people that are just being dicks. and you can't look at the stuff where the people are being dicks and take it to heart. Now, with a child, yeah, that's a little different. They're gonna take things to heart. There's a lot more severe things said to them that shouldn't be said. But again, as a parent, it is your responsibility. And if things like that are happening to them, you need to decide what you can do within the realm of your household so that your kid is not subjected to that.
Affectation was an early sign of a twisted mind. All virtues had faded away. Apprehension made her cold, but once she was inside, the child within her died and left her with a heart of stone. Surface anger was a thin disguise, yet at night she cries, behold the pain in her eyes. Degradation was a grind, her true self left behind. Compassion you will find hidden by a veil of deception.
And so the story goes,
that's the way she chose to live her life.
Did anybody know
the way it feels when you're dead inside?
She's running from herself.
Was advice. She chose to roll the dice, and so she paid the price. Misery was her only friend.
Hey, you guys, I am Hart D. Fisher. You are now sandwiched into a heart attack in the middle of a what-the-fuck moment. And yeah, Josh Hadley is with me too. Aren't you, Josh?
You know what? It's my show. Where would I be other than right here?
Well, you know, when it's a different segment, sometimes they don't have all the guys in the main thing.
I think what you mean is sometimes you don't let me talk. There's a difference.
Yeah, that's what my wife says. Sometimes, well, my wife gets bored with hearing me talk. She fucking hears me all day, every day, so she gets bored. But on this week's episode of Heart Attack, I kind of wanted to talk about something a little bit more personal, you know? The new Ultimate Fighter show is on, and the coaches this time out are girls. They're women. And Ronda Rousey is one of them, and I've talked about her before. I've been a big fan of what she's done. I mean, let's face it, in the face of what most girls are doing, which is just sitting around looking pretty, Ronda was in the dojo armbarring and rolling around and working hard and fucking getting onto the mat every chance she could. And her mother is a world judo champion who I've gotten to know and become friends with, who I really respect her. I really respect Ronda's mother, Dr. DeMars. And I think that the whole family is really amazing. So I've gotten to know her whole family, and I was watching the UFC Unleashed Breaking Ground special on the new Fox Sports channel. And, you know, fighting's the only thing I watch. Joe, do you ever watch UFC stuff, Josh?
No, I'm people hitting each other is not my idea of entertainment, unless it's in a Seagal movie.
That's pretty funny, dude. Well, I train. I love the martial arts, and I've been interested in it my whole life. And it's kind of crazy when you look around yourself in your martial arts school and you realize just how many champions and amazing groundbreaking martial artists have come out of Gokor and Jean LaBelle's Hayastan Academy. And it was really cool to see this old footage. I mean, I've been working out and training with Gok and Jean since like 96, 1997. And I remember the old Hollywood dojo that had like carpet stapled to the walls. You know, that's where I got my ankle broken. I broke my brother's rib in the corner of that gym. It's a hell of a thing to see your life show up on this special. I wasn't expecting it. And they had footage of Rhonda training in these old dojos. And I vaguely, you know, I was an adult and I was wrapped up in my world. And I was hanging out with Caro and you know, just looking at a young Manny Gamburian and just going, wow, these guys are amazing. And being able to talk to them then and getting this high level instruction. And so watching that show kind of really, I don't know, it kind of rocked me, man. I had a hard time sleeping after watching it. Kind of really blew my head up because, you know, Gokor isn't just a guy I go train at his dojo. I mean, he's a friend of mine. I've been lucky enough to work with him in a lot of different ways. You know, I've helped him record stuff and I have done a lot of voiceover work for him. And he's let me shoot a bunch of specials, interview stuff at his dojo. And, you know, I've been training there a long time. So seeing Rhonda and remembering in the back of my head is, oh, yeah, I think I can remember this girl being around. But, you know, when you're a grown guy, you're not really paying attention to the kids' classes. I'm there and I'm there to train with the adults and I'm talking to my friends. But I can remember this person going in and out of the gym and all these fucking champions that have come out of there. And it just blows my mind that these are the people around me. And I got to see the Danzig show. We closed out the Universal Amphitheater, the Gibson Amphitheater. They're going to tear it down for a Harry Potter ride. And so Glenn Danzig, 25 years of Danzig, and Doyle came in too from the ex-Misfits Axemen. And it was just, dude, it's fucking amazing.
I saw you had a little issue at that show, though, how you almost throttled somebody who was dicking around on their phone.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to go to a rock show, folks, and do you really need to talk over the music? If I can fucking hear your goddamn conversation over Glenn singing Blood and Tears, one, I should pop you in the back of the fucking head for talking over Glenn's Blood and Tears, you motherfuckers. And then they're on their fucking phone. It's super bright and they're looking at fucking photos of architecture. Yeah, I was ready to choke these fucking faggots out and leave them lying in the fucking aisle. Even Waka was so mad she yelled at him. But they eventually, you know, stopped talking that loud and they got a little tired and a little drunk. They started to sit down more, so that was the only low point. That and the VIP area was like the hell pit because it had no air conditioning. There's a heat wave going on here in LA right now. So I would, me included, totally melting, just melting. And I made sure that this was a sober night out. I managed to stay only four beers deep the whole night.
Four beers? Yeah, for you, that's what? Mild? You're not like that woman that blew that 3.14 and was proud of it, right?
I don't drive when I get that drunk, but I do get that drunk. And at the last Danzig show, I got wasted off my ass. I was way more than four beers deep, and I was way more than four shots of Jaeger deep. And it was a crazy show, and I was getting a little belligerent by the end of the night. So I didn't really enjoy the fact that I was acting that way. So I'm laying off on some of my boozing, you know, because I can be a loud, obnoxious handful, and people don't always need to have that in their life.
Then why am I working with you?
Yeah. So it's been a big week for me, man. It's been blowing up my head, and it was great to see Doyle again. We got the new Doyle album, Abominator, because we got an advanced copy from them at the show. And we got, you know, my wife's a huge Doyle fan, as most girls are, because he looks like a fucking Adonis, that motherfucker. I'm just kind of blown up at the great people I have in my life now. You know, like 6-7 years ago, when Waka was in the midst of her cancer, dude, I had so many douchebags around me. And now I've got judo champions and Olympians and you know, just watching Rhonda and her whole message of telling the girls that you could do more. You got to believe in yourself. You got to ask more of yourself. But it's not just saying, oh, I'm great. You got to get out there and do it. You can't just sit on the couch and say you're great. You can't just get on the Twitter and say you're fucking great. You got to go out and you got to work it. You got to get off your fucking ass. And I really liked her mindset of she decided she was going to be the one to bring women to the UFC. And I really admire that. And then there's the things of, you know, fuck, man. We got a lot in common. I was on the swim team as a kid. Both come from a lot of private pain in our personal lives. My father had crippling spinal problems that he was in a lot of pain. His pain medication killed him. I don't know. I was just blown away at a lot of the parallels. She has a superhero. She wants to be a superhero, and that's a big part of the martial arts for her. And the same thing about, you know, I'm never going to get bit by a radioactive spider. I'm never going to be an alien from Krypton, but I could be Dragon Ball Z. And for me and my generation, it was Master of Kung Fu. I knew I wasn't going to be Iron Man, but motherfucker, I could be Master of Kung Fu.
Shang-Chi.
Yeah, and so I've wanted to be a superhero, and I pushed myself, and that's why I don't back down over First Amendment shit. That's why I'm going to city council meetings. I want to help people. I want to help people up. And, you know, it's funny because people say when you're doing that, you're really helping yourself, because there are a lot of times when I was knocked down growing up and beaten up growing up, I wish there'd been somebody there to give me a hand up off the ground. I look around me and there's some pretty big dudes who have been giving me a hand up off the ground after my wife's illness. And I have a lot of amazing people in my life. To have a guy like Danzig in your life, to know guys like Gokor and Gene and Dr. DeMars, and to see Ronda training, and to know like a guy like Manny Gambier, and to watch like The Ultimate Fighter. And, you know, I see Manny come on and I'm like, ah, Manny! I'm screaming at the screen like a chump, because I want all the guys from my dojo to succeed. And there's so many, who knows who the future champions coming out of that gym are. It just blows my mind, the quality of people that are around me. And they got that message that, you know, you got to get up off your ass. You got to go do things, put in the time, put in the work. Dude, I love that. And so I'm kind of blown away and feeling pretty good.
As you should be.
Yeah, things are working out. You know, a lot of the activism we've been doing locally here in our neighborhood has worked. You know, we did beat back the vehicle lane removal campaign. You know, we have been, a lot of kids are contacting me too about how they can get active. What can they do? What questions should they ask their city council member? Because when I talk about what's happening in LA, I'm giving you detailed examples of exactly what is happening in your backyard. You want to know what's happening in the White House? It's what's happening in LA. Because it's happening in Detroit, because it's happening in Chicago, because when you say, oh, I don't care about LA, it's not about that, guys. I'm trying to illustrate an example for you so you could emulate the example, so you can take the information and you could make it work in your city, in your town, even your motherfucking school. Because if you stay calm, stay focused, and be smart, you can figure out a way around almost anything. You can defeat almost anyone. You get your head straight, you focus, you put in the work, you can do it. And if you fail, hey, get the fuck back up and get on that motherfucking horse and ride again, motherfucker. You do not become a black belt in a day. You got to work at it. So if you're like, I voted for Obama, nothing changed. Well, quit crying like a little fucking bitch, motherfucker, and get back in the fucking ring. Did he just knock you down? Get up. You tired? Well, that's okay. Rest a little while. Get up. There's more fight left in you. So watching the Ronda thing, I really thought it was awesome. And seeing all the people I know up there, dude, it's fucking awesome. And so my message to you guys out there, you might have a champion in your swim team. You might have a champion on your chess team. You might have that person around you. Enjoy what you got and work a little bit harder to make things a little bit better. Not just for yourself, but for the people around you. I'm Hart Fisher. This is Heart Attack.
Go! Cemetery, tell us later, you're a killing machine. Feed my rifle every day. Glad you were ever the honest days. On the line, steal me, me. On the line, steal me, me. There's no fucking fight. Walking about with a tummy gun. Shut out Atlanta, you're in the bed. You're just beyond that, and you're left all paper. On the line, steal me, on the line, steal me, me. Fire! That tata! Let me
army to learn a tale. Join the army to be a man. For our love, the name of years. Spare the world for the army's sake. All the money is good. And me. All the money is good. Bring me.
Okay, Jillian, we've talked about something many times before, but I think we need to mention something again. The myopic view of Christians, because...
Not all Christians, certain Christians. I will qualify right there.
In Louisiana, they are trying to pass a voucher program for schools. What it would basically do is allow certain religious teachings in schools. And now that's the way they worded it. Religious teachings. Fair enough. I mean, I think it's wrong, but they're trying to push it through. They're trying to now pull their own voucher program when they realize that religious teachings also mean Muslim teachings, Jewish teachings, Buddhist teachings, Wiccan teachings. When they wanted to push this through, they were saying, we want Christianity taught in our schools. You mean Muslims can teach their religion too? No. All of a sudden this program is broken. The funniest part, they are trying to say that if a Muslim tries to use the voucher program, it's a violation of church and state. But when Christians tried to do it, it's not. Do you see why I'm a little pissed?
Yeah, and I mean, again, I want to qualify, not all Christians are like this. We've talked about this a million bazillion times. You have extremists and different people that have different beliefs within the same, you know, belief community. So yeah, when you are talking about, okay, let's have religious teachings, it's like they're just so built up and be like, oh, well, religion means Christianity. And then they got called out on it. So their thinking is, oh, well, no, we don't want our kids exposed to that. Not thinking about that they are doing that to other people. Not only that, but if you're allowing religious teachings into the school, it's kind of like, all right, it depends on how you do it. You know, if you're studying different social cultures and you start talking about, you know, religious beliefs of different cultures, fine. If you're talking about Jesus rode dinosaurs and the earth is only a few thousand years old.
I didn't mean to laugh there, but I...
That's fine. You
went to the perfect example right away, too.
I did. I mean, so that's what I'm saying. Obviously, not all Christians think the world is only a couple thousand years old. You know, I mean, it's actually, as much as we hear and talk about it, it is kind of a small percentage of people that are this extreme. But the issue is that this small percentage of Christianity is the percentage that has the power and, you know, the publicity to say all these things. And, you know, it does. It trickles down. But, you know, please, if you know nothing of Christianity, I just want to put it out there. When we talk about these extremists on the show, this is not a complete regular thing. Not all Christians are like this. It's kind of like with the news where you're only hearing about the crazy parts because it's so crazy it's making news. You know what I mean?
The reason that this angered me so much is this is yet another example of Christian superiority, how they see their religion, their beliefs as being superior to yours and completely overriding yours. That it doesn't matter if it's an actual violation of church and state. It's just, we think you should be learning about Jesus in school and not Muhammad. I keep using that word myopic. It's a myopic view. And it's just so ringed in arrogance, Jillian.
Well, here's the thing. Send your kid to a private school then. You know, and even if you're having your kids go to public school for whatever, I mean, you would think if someone is that gung-ho on religion, you would send them to private school or some kind of, you know, like Sunday school where they go to public school and then they go to, you know, learn the religious aspects through your church. The thing is, I'm kind of wondering, these private schools that are out there, because they are, you know, they're able to control what they teach, I'm wondering if these private schools in the areas of where this is going on are like, no, Jesus didn't ride dinosaurs and, you know, the earth is billions of years old. You know what I mean? 'Cause I learned that stuff in school. I went to a private school up to eighth grade. So it just kind of makes me wonder that since they're trying to push all of this religious, I don't want to say mythology, but in
teaching,
theology. You also have the aspect of, okay, religion is so fragmented within its own dogmas. You know, you have Jewish people that will say, okay, well, this is what we believe in. And then you have the others that say, well, you know, we've gone beyond that. And it evolves in certain ways. Same with Christianity, Catholicism. You have certain people, you know, I mean, in the Old Testament, there's, you know, crazy stuff that they don't apply today, but then they keep some of the Old Testament stuff. We're like, no, this is written in the Bible. You have other Christians that are like, gays are God's children too, you know, and I'm fine with it. And then you have the extremists that are just, you know, rule the world and this is what we're saying and fuck science, this is how it is. And then you have the other Christians who are like, no, that's science. You know, maybe God created those and then we evolved and, you know, God gave us this. You know what I mean? There's different views on everything. So again, it begs to differ if they're trying to force this upon the public schools. It's like, I'm really curious on the private schools and what they're teaching in relation that it's not good enough. They're trying to force religion in the public schools. Also, you know, like I said, you've got issues where Susie might be a Christian and then, you know, Jeremy's a Christian, but they both have different levels of their Christianity where, you know, one may be extremist and the other is very, you know, open and loving and do unto others. So it's like, what aspect of religion? Because now, you know, when we keep saying Christianity, but it is everywhere, but that's kind of what's in the limelight now because,
well, because that's what this
forcing
particular...
And it's, right. It's kind of like, all right, well, what aspects do you teach? Because you have, is it the basic of, you know, Jesus died for your sins, and if you don't believe it, that's, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's no way to teach that in a non-religious class, or if you're going to go the whole the world's only a couple thousand years old route. You know, there's a lot of Christians out there that are like, no, that's wrong.
My problem is the fact that they never even considered the fact that other religions might want to use this too. That just screams such arrogance to me. Christianity is the only religion. It's like they were horrified to find out, you mean other religions exist too? Well, yeah, damn! Like, I also have a side issue with this, and that's with the U.S. military. The U.S. military is now classifying, and I quote, lack or loss of spiritual faith as a possible indicator that a soldier is ready to crack or snap, along with substance abuse and suicide attempts. When the fuck has being religious been a prerequisite of being a soldier, Jillian?
Not only that, but they're saying psychopathic behavior. How many psychopaths have there been that are like, you know, God told me to do this and you're going to be insane? It kind of goes both ways. An insane person is an insane person. It's kind of like there isn't really any rhyme or reason to having a religion or not having a religion or, you know, any specific dogma you have attached. So if you're going to look at it as, oh, well, you're an atheist, so you're going to go off the deep end and go postal, there have been people that are super duper religious and go off the end and go postal on behalf of their religion. It's just, it's in the mind. It has nothing to do with your spiritual beliefs.
But don't you see this as almost discriminatory within the military?
It's not that... almost, it is.
It is blatantly discriminatory. It is basically saying we put more, and I know the irony of me using this word, we put more faith in soldiers that have faith than we do in soldiers that don't. I'm almost starting to wonder then if you get turned down for a promotion and say you're an atheist and the religious guy gets to become sergeant over you, is that now going to be grounds for a lawsuit that they're outright saying lack or loss of spiritual belief is basically a mental health indicator now?
So are they saying only with Christianity or are they saying any religion?
No, this is with any religion. I read it exactly as it is quoted. Lack or loss of spiritual faith. What they're still saying is have to believe in something or you're crazy.
Religion and spirituality are two different things. You can be a religious person and follow to the letter of what it says to do, but not necessarily feel a connection. And you could just be like, I want to be a good person. This is what I do. This is what I believe. But there's so many people that don't have that connection. It's almost out of fear or obligation. And then you have people that are very spiritual, very tuned into nature. And I'm not saying all people within a religious dogma aren't spiritual, but there are a lot. Abuse, murder, like horrific things. And then they go and be like, no, they were in church every Sunday. They seemed like a very nice person. So having a religion is not indicative of you being a good person.
There are a lot of people that just go through the motions.
Well, yeah,
right?
and there's all these people that
soldier require religious ideology of any way, really.
Well, don't they also have the outs of being deployed in things with the it's against my religion, I can't murder people. I mean, I know some countries do.
I don't know if they still do. They did have that back in Nam. That's how some people opted out. They said, you know, I'm a pacifist and it's against my beliefs. Didn't really work, but they tried it.
But, well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like you guys are kind of shooting yourself in the foot there.
But then even in 2011, the army required soldiers to take a survey that measured, quote, spiritual fitness. Soldiers who failed this spiritual fitness survey were told that, quoting, improving your spiritual fitness would be an important goal for you to seek. What the fuck does that even mean?
I'd be like, all right, I'm spiritual. I believe in myself. I don't have a God complex. I am God.
But I think with both the thing with the military and with the voucher program show that that doesn't go both ways. That on the Christian side and both, you know, the Christian side in Louisiana and just the religious side in general for the military, they are being all inclusive. So I don't know why we should be qualifying when they won't.
Because these people do not represent every person in Christianity. And that is my point. When we're talking about these stories, we are talking about these people and why it's wrong of what they're doing and saying. However, I'm qualifying because these people, although they'd like to think so, do not represent everybody within the religion. You know, saying, oh, well, we as Christians, you know, believe this and da, 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 and you've got these people in public office and just in the public eye speaking. And I think people do assume that, oh, all Christians are like that. And it's not. That is, you know, what they've taken of their religion and what they've turned it into and what they're trying to force upon other people. There are so many people in the Christian faith that don't do the whole Spanish Inquisition type stuff that's like, join us or else, you know? So you have these people that are just, you know, live and let live. This is our faith. It works for us. You know, I'll tell you about my faith. This is why I believe. But they're not following the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. Whereas you have these people who are like, this is what I believe. This is right. This is how the country should be run. This is how my school should be run because I believe this. So everybody should be taught it. And that's not right.
I believe that you should not be pushing your beliefs onto others. Some might say I'm doing that very thing right now. If you're a Christian, fine. Be a Christian. If you are in the military and you think spiritual faith matters, then deal with that on your level. You should not be forcing schools to teach your religion. You should not be pushing the television to teach your religion. You should not be pushing the military to require your religion. Just be happy with your religion. Didn't this used to be, this is the way it was always described to me, it is you seeking a personal relationship with Jesus. So then why are you forcing that personal relationship with Jesus on me?
Because we're in a society where, no, this is right, and this is what I believe in, so this is what you should believe in too. And I'm going to make it so that everybody is right, because I don't like how the world is right now, and what I think is right, so, you know, this is what needs to be taught. And these people are in a position to try and do so. And so, I mean, you know, you've had situations like, I know a lot of Christians, okay, and the world evolves. I mean, there were times where, you know, if we followed the letter law, it'd be like, oh, well, you know, still prejudice against Black people and, you know, all this other stuff and treat women horribly. But no, it has evolved and it has to, and not to go into, you know, the gay issues with religion and the military, because we've talked about that so many times. You have a lot of Christians who are like, you know, you're still God's children, you know, you're gay, you're good people, live on. And so you're going to have these extremists, let's say, in this military situation where maybe they are super duper religious and they're super duper spiritual. And so, you know, the military gives them a red stamp. They're okay. They are just so religious. And then that religious person comes across a gay person in the military. Well, they are so religious that they go crazy and kill the guy for being gay. Whereas the gay guy maybe was just kind of, you know, maybe another religion or just an atheist or whatever, but they were still a good, sane person. So you can't really judge whether someone is religious or spiritual upon being a good person, because how many wars have been started in the name of religion throughout history? Yeah. You know, nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. So,
Inquisition, don't you know?
You see what I'm saying, where it's this whole, yeah, and that's the golden rule, you know, do unto others, join us or die, Christianity. You know, so you have all these wars based on, you know, this is our religion and we should, you know, force it upon other people. So you clearly have very religious people that are willing to kill. And yes, that was more so in the past with the Inquisition and whatnot, but you have people that still believe this to this day. You know, it's not like we never come across stories where someone had a religious faith, be it Christianity or something else, and ended up killing someone or raping someone. I mean, you've got private schools where there were football team things, and I mean, public schools, and you know, like I said earlier, it was like, oh no, they were in church all the time. We can't believe this. They did this to their kid. So they were religious goers and they still did horrible things. So you can't judge and say that, you know, give someone the mental stamp of approval just because they're religious and say that somebody is unstable because they're not.
Where can we find Silky Voice herself?
Silky Voice?
You heard me.
Silkyvoice.com. Facebook, under my name, Jillian Zarowski. Twitter, I am at The Mistress J. You can also find me occasionally on geekjuicemedia.com as well as thecinemasnob.com.
And then you can find me at 1201beyond.com, geekjuicemedia.com, and contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Have a good night, guys. We'll be right back.
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.